Father, indeed, as we have heard in this morning, the Bible study and the message, we do pray that thou wouldst again open thy word and give us that manna from above. Be with us, watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As Brother Jim was talking this morning about being that quarter inch off, you know, how it ends up being larger and larger, I thought of an acquaintance of mine, I guess, at one of our customers many, many years ago. He was from New Jersey, and as I was talking to him at some event, he was bragging. He was saying, yeah, you know, there was an architect in New York, and they had a park that they were building, and he wanted a one-acre scale map of the world, accurate to within 1 inch. Or no, I'm sorry, an eighth of an inch. Accurate to within an eighth of an inch. And he says, nobody would take the job. Nobody. But I took the job. So really? I said, how did you do it? He goes, nobody can measure. Right? Nobody can measure. And that's the truth. Nobody could measure. Nobody could check him. Nobody had the accuracy to be able to do that, especially back then. But I think that mindset is a deceitful mindset. You know, as long as they can't measure, we're okay. I would like if you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'd like to go through verses 17 through 27. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 27. And as we read here, you're going to notice that Paul is talking to the Corinthians here. He's speaking to the Corinthians. And that first verse 17 says, but as God has distributed to every man. So distribute, that word distribute, I want you to understand that before we read the whole passage or this portion of the passage. Distributed. If I want to distribute bread, I cut it in slices or I break it up and I give pieces out to every person. That's distributing, breaking it up and parsing it out to different people. So it says, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. Okay? And you're going to see that word called half a dozen times as we read the word. And then we're going to talk about how that all applies. Let's read. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all the churches, in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. That's what's important. But the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Called. Art thou called? Being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made to be, I'm sorry, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, when he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. And I'd like to stop there. So we have three examples that Paul has given here. We're talking about the calling, or he's distributed. He's given to each and every one of us a duty, a work, some part in life that we're doing actively. He's given us that. He's distributed to us. And sometimes we don't want to do that part. Sometimes we don't want to do that one. So I'm going to give you an overview, and then I'll go into some more details. But when it talks about the circumcision, right, that's a personal thing. That's something on our person. When it talks about being a servant or a slave, he's talking about a position, where we are at in relative to other people. And when he's talking about, you know, should you be married, should you be not married, that's talking about maybe a passion or something we desire. And all three points are important here. What he's saying is that live as you are called. He wants us to live where we're called. I think of the passage in Luke where the master is having a feast and he calls those to his table. Come, the feast is ready. And one by one, I've married a wife, I have bought a cow, I have fields of commitments, right? You know, bought a cow. He bought 5 yoke of oxen. He bought 10 oxen. He's never tried them, but he bought 10 oxen, right? I cannot come. I can't complete the work. Fields of commitments. I got to. You're buying a field without checking what it is. You know, I've married a wife. I have other commitments that I have. All of these, and it's blatant in that Luke chapter 14, that these are mere excuses, and we will use any excuse to avoid our call. I shared this story before, but I'm going to tell it again, only because I'm going to have a slightly different analogy. But back, I don't know, I think Timothy was 8. I don't know, 14 years ago, right? Our family, we went up to the Zion's Harp thing, and we hiked Half Dome. And we had gone up early, and a day or so early, and, you know, we're up there. We had, like, little housekeeping tents because we were going to be up there and go ready first thing in the morning, because Half Dome is 4,000 foot of elevation, almost 5,000 feet, 4,700 feet of vertical elevation change. It's an 8-hour high, 8.5 up and 8.5 back down. It's a 17-mile round trip with all that strenuous. It's a difficult hike. People die up there on the top of the mountain. It's tough, right? And so we're up there, and the night before, here's Miracle Mary. And they're down, and we just see them there, right? And, oh, what are you guys doing tomorrow? Oh, we're hiking Half Dome. Oh, Miracle, I want to come. Oh, okay, you want to come? Sure, you know, basically, are you prepared? You know, he doesn't really know what Half Dome is. He knows it's that rock. Do you have a water? Do you have a backpack? No, I don't. Well, he's going to get one. So by this time, I think it's 9 o'clock at night. There's a backpacking store. It's closed. There's no backpack there. And so he just goes into the general store, and he comes out with the backpack that he can. You can go and look at the pictures, right? It's a little bear with a zipper on his tummy. Okay, that's the backpack, right? And he puts a couple waters in it. And so, okay, we'll see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We're going to get on this bus, and we're going to go over to Half Dome. And so, you know, here we meet at the bus stop, and here's Mirko in his church shoes. He's in penny loafers. These are what he wears at church. This is what he has. You're going to walk in? Sure, you know. So, here's what's wrong with the person. He has a mediocre backpack, a little bear, right? And he has bad shoes. That's the person, right? The position is he's going to go hike Half Dome. This is a difficult thing to hike, right? But his passion is that he wants to hike this, right? He wants to go up there, right? And so off we go, and we're hiking, and he's in good shape. And up we go, and I can't tell you. Even though he was shackled, if you could, think about it, right? If he was shackled by not really being prepared. Yeah, he had a little backpack, okay? He had a little bit of water. He had bad shoes. These were the shackles that were holding him back. He was going. And it was amazing. As you're going, you know, all of a sudden he's talking, you know, the backpack turns out to be a conversation piece. And people are stopping him on the trail and looking at his shoes and talking to him. And he's way ahead of me. I come up to him, and he's having a prayer meeting with some people. Right? He is on fire. And we get to the top, and, you know, as we're going up, there was a rattlesnake that was crossing the trail, right? Oh, stop, and you watch the rattlesnake cross the trail. And, you know, if it were the boys and they would be older, because, you know, Timothy was only 8, right? He's not going to touch it. But, you know, they might have stopped and gotten distracted by these things, right? All sorts of distractions. But Mirko had a goal, and he was going to get up to the top of the mountain. And here, when it's talking about being circumcised, he's very plainly saying, okay, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcision. Is any man called uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandment of God. So let's look at that a little bit, because very plainly he says it's not circumcision or uncircumcision. It's keeping God's commands. That is our goal. That's what we're going for. Well, isn't circumcision one of the laws? Isn't that God's command, right? And so you go back to Genesis, and when you read in Genesis, seventeen, 9, and 10. And God said to Abraham, "Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed ever after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." And then it goes on, right? So here is a symbol of the covenant of Abraham, plain black and white. And then later on, when you read about Moses and that he almost dies because he hasn't circumcised his firstborn child, and God is angry about this. Yeah, but Abraham, he grew up in the Egyptian culture. In the Egyptian culture, that was also a practice. And it was almost as if he was rebelling against that practice when his firstborn son, he did not circumcise. And his wife actually had to do the circumcision to spare Moses' life. So this is a big deal. But then we read in Galatians chapter 5, and you'll remember, 1-6. "Stand that fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." So here Paul has made it plain that this focus on, oh, circumcision has made me clean, you know. I said a prayer. I gave my life to Christ once. I'm clean, right? This focus on externals is not what makes you clean, right? So the person. So it's not really how can I say? It's not the circumcision. It's not the uncircumcision. It's not about your person. A lot of times we'll say, oh, you know, I'm handicapped in some way. I didn't learn well when I was in school. I didn't have Sunday school. I had too much Sunday school. There's all sorts of reasons that people give for not answering the call of God. There is a reason in me, whether it's in my mind or my body, that if it was different, then I would be able to answer the call. But it's not different, so therefore, here I am. Here I sit. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, it's not that. It's not that. That's an imaginary shackle. Imaginary. It's not really a shackle. You know, the elephants, when they're young, they shackle them to the ground. This is, you know, in India where they're training the elephants, right? They shackle them, so they put them to a stake in the ground so they can't go. But as they grow up, they've learned that they can't go anywhere because they're shackled at night, and so they just stay there. And so as maybe they don't have enough shackles, or maybe the things are, some elephants are extra restless, so they need to put a few more shackles on those. Some of them, they just kind of wrap a piece of grass around their ankle, around that foot down there. And that's enough. They can just feel a little tug, and they think, okay, I'm not going anywhere, right? But it's an imaginary shackle. It's not a real shackle. And in our lives, we have those imaginary shackles that keep us from making a step forward towards Christ. So that's the person. That's what he talks about here when he's talking about circumcision or uncircumcision, something on your body, something on your person, some part of you. And then he goes on to say, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. If you can be free, free. You can be free, but let's make it plain. For he that is called as being a servant, in the Lord being a servant, is the Lord's free man. And likewise, he that is called being a free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. So let's talk about that for a little bit. In Bible class this morning, we heard about Paul. And we heard about Paul, and he was a free man. He was a Roman citizen. He wasn't a slave, but he was pressed upon to call upon Caesar, the name of Caesar, because the Jews were trying to kill him. And now all of a sudden, he is like a slave. He's a servant. He's bound. He was a servant for Christ. This is indeed true. He was a free man on paper, but he was bound, and he had his mission. He had his journey. He needed to do what was right in the eyes of Christ, right? And so sometimes in our position in life, oh, I don't make much money. Oh, I make a lot of money. Oh, I'm right in the middle somewhere. I don't have many possessions. I have this car. If I only had it differently, I would be a different person. Well, those are true statements, okay? But to live for Christ has nothing to do with your position in life. Every one of us has a different position, and yet we can live and preach and breathe and educate. If you think about Brother Mirko, he's going up the hill, right? He's talking to people. There's prayer meetings going on. He has a horrible backpack and penny loafers on, but that's not stopping him. He's not thinking about that. That's not the focus. The focus is he has kind of two focus. He has a goal. We all have a goal. Our goal is that as we go through this life, our goal is that when we get to the end, that the Lord can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what our goal is that indeed we have kept his commandments. Fear God, love your neighbor, right? And upon all of these two, all of them are based. Our goal is that. But along the way, we want to bring people along with us. And in that particular case, it was very vivid how as the brother went up, people were seeing that, right? I also know that once we got to that top, that last, I don't know, it's like 1,000 feet up. There are cables on that mountain. And it's hard to get up those cables. Now, when I say that, if there's nobody on the cables, I mean, Timothy, he just ran up there, right? You know, people fall off this thing and die, and the 8-year-olds are running up to the top, and 9-year-olds and 12-year-olds, they're just running up to the top. We're done. But I can tell you, you get 1,000 people in line, maybe not that at the time, but maybe 100 people on that line, and there was one girl that was just riveted in fear, and she had a belt on, and she had little ropes, and she had 2 carabiners. And, of course, these cables are held up by posts coming up out of the ground, right? And so you can slide the shackle up, and then you came to a post, and you undo one, and you clip it, and you undo the other one, and you clip it, and you go up the next 20 feet. That's how you do it. Some people, right? She was shaking. She was crying. She couldn't go up. She couldn't even shackle or unshackle. She just stopped. Well, you know, you can't just stand on these cables forever. It's tough, you know. And the line stopped, and she's crying, and she's not going anywhere. She's frozen in fear. And I remember looking down, and probably every 20 feet, there's a kind of a board that's put up against those poles that come out. So if you're kind of standing on a board, it's not hard. But if you're not on the board, you're just kind of holding yourself up by your arms. And I remember all of a sudden, a couple of people turn back behind me. They're going back down. It's too much, you know. She's crying. She's hysterical. This is too dangerous. And down they go. And Mirko, he just went down. It was too much. Well, you know, most of us get up to the top. We're sitting up there. We're enjoying the fruits of that goal, right? And a little bit, oh, some people went back that were with us, right? They didn't go all the way up. And as I'm going down, here comes Mirko. I can see in his eyes, he's determined. He's going to make it, right? Penny loafers and all, just boom, right to the top, right? So he didn't let that deter him, that passion. There was another bit of passion or emotion that was going, right? And a lot of times we do have passions, things that it's not really a defect in what the way we think, or you know, or the way we were raised, or on our body. It's not really our position. Everything's okay. We're not blaming that. But we have a passion. I don't know. It might be cars. It might be girls. It might be guys. It might be our phones. Whatever the passion is, it's keeping us not focused on the right thing. You know, these are little things. They're not the big things. And it's those little things. Those little things that Paul is saying, it's not about circumcision. It's not about being a slave. And when we think about slavery, it's a big deal, right? But Paul is saying, if you're a slave, you can serve God and be a slave. Not that he wants people to be a slave, not that he's condoning it, but don't let that be your excuse. Don't let your passions, I got to go, you know, do something. You know, we have a drive, a desire, but you're going to sacrifice the things of God along the way. Don't do that. You know, all the time there are passionate people. There are people in different circumstances, both slave and free. There are people with physical defects or too much pride, whatever, you know, something to the person, right? And there are people that have put that in its proper place and serve God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. There will be always something to keep us away from those good things that God has for us. Those somethings, those many, many, many somethings, whether it's passion or position or the person, those are little things. The good things that God has for us, those are the big things. Those are the things that we got to focus on. Those are the goals that we got to go for. And in your person, in your position, your passion, whatever you're doing right now, where you live now, when you go home, that's wherever you are. Wherever you are, there is time to think about the big things, the godly things, the things that are eternally important. Don't let imaginary shackles keep you away from those good things. May the Lord bless his word.